It's certainly good to be with you this morning. It's always good to be with God's people and to be able to worship our God and to be able to open His Word, to allow His Word to build us up, to edify us, to remind us of what is really important. I like this time of the year. It has to do with the holiday season. It seems like for me, though, this is the week that just kicks off the holiday season. I love Thanksgiving. Growing up, I can still remember the times we would get together with our family, with our friends. I know you're looking forward to this week because of Thanksgiving, to be with your children, to be with your family, and to be thankful for what we have. As I get older and as I study God's Word more and more, I really like the concept of Thanksgiving. Out of all of the holidays we celebrate, Thanksgiving is my favorite because of the concept of just being thankful. You stop and think about being thankful. Being thankful should characterize the people of God. In Psalm 92, verse 1, we learn that it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. There are a number of passages that you can turn to just thinking about being thankful. And I'm just going to mention a couple. That's one right there, but Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4 verse 6 has to do with our prayer life, and we're reminded in that verse that we should be casting our care upon God. But that verse also reminds us that when we pray to God, we should be God's thankful people. And we can express our gratitude for the good things that come down from above when we pray to God. Another verse that comes to mind is Colossians 3 verse number 17. For whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord and be thankful, Paul said. You know, Colossians 3 verse number 17 has to do with authority. And we always turn to Colossians 3 verse number 17 to talk about Bible authority. And we have to have authority for what we have. But even right there in the middle of that verse, as we think about Bible authority, the Holy Spirit reminds us that we are to be God's thankful people. Again, thankfulness should characterize us as the people of God. Now you think about the opposite. In Romans chapter 1 verse 21, we see that it was unthankfulness that characterized the unrighteous. You see that in Romans 1 verse 21 and also 2 Timothy 3 verse number 2. Paul talks about there being those who were unthankful, unholy. People who went through this life not taking time to thank God. But as we think about this idea of thanksgiving and expressing our gratitude toward God, one of the things that we thank God for, I think one of the most important things that we thank God for, is the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable death. In Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We know what we deserve because of sin, but we're thankful that God doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what we need, and we need salvation. O wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of death? I thank my God and Father through Jesus Christ. Again, Romans 7 verse 24. Notice how that relates to salvation. And Paul is saying, I am thanking God for the salvation that I have in Christ Jesus, the one who can save me from my wretched condition. Now with that in mind, let me invite you to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. We actually spent a little time in Colossians chapter 1 this morning. Our Bible class went in that direction, and so we were in Colossians 1. But I want to invite your attention back to Colossians chapter 1. But we're going to focus in on verses 12 through 14. And as you are thinking about Colossians 1, 12 through 14, you will see that the theme here has to do with salvation. The theme here has to do with salvation. Now, I want to read these verses, and I'm going to highlight three words for our study. Beginning at chapter 1, verse number 12. Giving thanks unto God, which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. As the Apostle Paul talks about the doctrine of salvation from these verses, he really sums up the doctrine of salvation with three words. And I'm going to highlight these words because we're going to be talking about these three words. First of all, Paul talks about our inheritance. He then talks about our deliverance. And then he talks about our transference, being delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, as we think about these three words, inheritance, deliverance, transference, again, this gives us something to be thankful for. And so this morning, as we look at these three words, I want you to keep these three words in your mind throughout this week as you're celebrating Thanksgiving. I know that you'll be thankful to be with your family, to be with your friends, to be able to eat a little food, to be with family, and, you know, to watch football, the three S. Family, food, and football. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, right? But as you're spending time eating, spending time with family, please think about these three words because it gives you something to be thankful for. Going back to Colossians 1, verse number 12. The first word that Paul mentioned there that we want to highlight for our study has to do with our inheritance. We should be thankful that we're going to receive an inheritance. Turn, if you would, to the book of Acts and go to Acts 26 towards the end of the book. Now, as I said, we're talking about, or the theme that we're looking at has to do with salvation. And as you're thinking about salvation, the book of Acts is all about salvation. We learn about when the church was established. Brother Sam mentioned the book of Acts this morning as he was talking about the Lord's Supper. We see what people had to do in order to be saved. Well, here in Acts chapter 26, Paul is before King Agrippa. And Paul is talking about his purpose as an apostle. And Paul's purpose as an apostle was to preach the power of the gospel, because the gospel has the power unto salvation. But I want to look at one verse as he is speaking about the gospel. Look at Acts 26, verse number 18. And he's showing the power of the gospel, what the gospel can do to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, listen to it, and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now from Acts 26, verse number 18, salvation has to do with, Paul says, forgiveness. When we obey the gospel, when we're being saved, we're being saved from our sins. We have forgiveness in Christ Jesus. I'm reminded of what Hebrews 8, verse 12 says, "For God has promised, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You see, when we meet God's terms of pardon that is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, God promises to forgive. Salvation has to do with forgiveness. But we see that it has to do with something else from Acts chapter 26, verse number 18. Salvation also has to do with an inheritance. And Paul mentions that there in verse number 18. But what kind of inheritance is Paul talking about? When we think about an inheritance, and as we study this out in our minds, naturally our mind goes back to the Old Testament when God's people under the Old Testament received an inheritance. But you remember, it was an earthly inheritance. And that's not what Paul is talking about here as he talks about our inheritance. No, our inheritance is spiritual. From 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4, we learn there that it has to do with a heavenly inheritance. Salvation has to do with an inheritance. What kind of inheritance? It has to do with a spiritual inheritance. The inheritance of being a part of the promised land. Being a part of heaven. And we have that as God's children. And that is something that all of us should be thankful for. We have the hope of heaven. And there is no way that a person can have this inheritance who is outside of Jesus Christ. There is absolutely no way that a person can have the hope of heaven outside of Jesus Christ. People who have this inheritance, this heavenly inheritance, look at verse number 18 again, are sanctified. Oh, that is key, my friends, to understanding forgiveness and understanding this heavenly inheritance that awaits the people of God. Those who are sanctified. How does one become sanctified? Two verses. John 17, verse number 17. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Again, sanctify them, Jesus says, through thy word is truth. The second verse, 1 Peter 1, verse number 22. Peter says we purify our souls when we obey that word of truth. When a person obeys the truth, they are sanctified. They are purified. And one who is sanctified receives the forgiveness of sins, and one receives this inheritance, the inheritance of heaven. I hope as we think about all of the things that we are thankful for, that we are reminded about heaven. I don't think we think about heaven enough. I think we're challenged at times to think about heaven. But God wants us to know that we have an inheritance. Jesus said in John 14, beginning at verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You see, if you don't think about the heavenly inheritance, all you think about is this world, your heart will be troubled. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that whither I am, there ye may be also. And the way you know. Notice that. You know where I'm going, and you know how to get there. And we should be thankful that God has given us His plan of salvation that sanctifies us, that allows us to receive this inheritance. Thank God for the hope of heaven, the hope of eternal life. When we go back to Colossians chapter 1, 12 through 14, the second word that we want to consider that gives us reason to give thanks to God is the word deliverance. We are delivered from the power of darkness. As you think about darkness, that has to do with the devil's domain, spiritual darkness. Remember, the devil, Matthew 4, verse number 1, is the tempter. Revelation 12, verse 9, he is the deceiver of the whole world. And according to John 8, verse 44, the devil is a liar. He is a murderer. And what he wants more than anything is for you to lose your soul. He wants you to be lost. Oh, he knows where he is going. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that the devil is doing everything that he can to blind your minds from the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul refers to the devil in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, as the god of this world. Think about that. The god of this world. Paul says again in Colossians that we're delivered from the power or the domain of darkness. You see, Satan is the dark kingdom's dark king. He is the god of this world. And he is associated with everything that is evil and bad and dark. And again, we are delivered from his domain when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. But turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8. This to me is a sobering verse because it reminds us that we serve somebody. Everybody in the world serves somebody. In 1 John 3, verse number 8, the Apostle John says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Those who are outside of Christ, according to this verse, who persistently live in sin, serve the devil. Now I realize that is strong language, but that's the language that we see right here in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8. We serve somebody. Either we serve our God or either we serve the devil. Isn't it amazing people sometimes will reject the gospel because their reasoning is, "I want to be free. I want to be free. And I want to be able to do what I want to do." Well, dear friends, if you're not in Christ, you are not free. You're the devil's captive. You are his servant. Read 1 John 3, verse number 8. Read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 26, because when a person obeys the gospel, Paul says, we escape the snares of the devil. We are set free from his domain, that realm of darkness. No longer are we his prisoner. As Jesus said in John 8, verse number 36, "If the Son shall set you free, then are you free indeed." You see, the only way that you can be free is by being in Christ Jesus. But watch what happens in salvation. When we obey the gospel, it is a wonderful thing. We are delivered from Satan's jurisdiction. Again, if we're in the world, if we're outside of Christ, if we're living in sin, he has rule over our life. But when we obey Jesus, the one who conquered the devil, the one who destroyed the power of the devil, Hebrews 2, verse number 14, we are set free. Paul again puts it like this: we're delivered from the power of darkness. And then he says we are translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That brings us to the third word, transference. You stop and think about inheritance. You stop and think about deliverance. It gives you something to be thankful for. We have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. We have deliverance in Christ Jesus. And Paul again says in salvation, the theme of this section, you're delivered from the power of darkness and you're translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I had an interesting discussion this week with a preacher friend of mine, and he received a call from another preacher that had a question, and really the question went along these lines. Before a person obeys the gospel, do they have to understand the kingdom? And really what they're asking is, before a person obeys the gospel, do they have to understand the church? That was the question. And I know this gentleman, and he was just wanting to see what I would have to say. And I said, well, of course a person has to understand the kingdom of God. I said, in fact, there are a lot of religions in this world, in the denominational world, that do teach that baptism is for the remission of your sins. Just because you're baptized for the remission of your sins doesn't mean that you've been forgiven of your sins. There are things that a person must know in order to be forgiven. Things that they must know in order to be saved from their sins. That certainly takes place in baptism, as we see in Acts 2, verse number 38. But we also see from Colossians 1, verse number 13, that when a person is baptized into Jesus Christ, they're delivered from darkness and they're translated into the kingdom, the church, of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we go to the book of Acts. You look at the book of Acts, we see what people did in order to be saved. We see that 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel. They were told to repent and be baptized. We see that there were 3,000 that gladly received the word and were baptized. And it says in Acts 2, verse number 47, they were added to the church. We see in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit were you all baptized into one body. Listen to that. You're baptized into one body. When I talk to people about the church, I want them to understand you can't separate Christ from His church. He promised to build the church. He died for the church, Acts 20, verse 28. That tells me the church is important. Even before the church was established, you remember John's preaching? Jesus' preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's about to be established. There will be some of you that will not die till you see the kingdom of God come with power. You're not far from the kingdom of God. Mark 9, Mark 12. Oh, the kingdom of God is important. And the kingdom of God is something that a person must understand before they become a Christian. Because in baptism, one is being delivered and they are being transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son. God is the one that is doing the work there, you see. He is the one that is adding us. He is the one that is delivering us and transferring us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That kingdom of peace. Same book, Colossians 3, verse number 15. Colossians 3, verse number 15. Paul refers to it as a body of peace. A kingdom of light. And so the kingdom of God is important. And with that comes tremendous responsibility to walk as children of light. Ephesians 5, verse 8. You see, before we became a part of the kingdom, we were in the domain of darkness. And we walked in darkness. We walked in ignorance. But now that we are kingdom of light, we are to walk in the light. We are to live in a way that it will attract others to the kingdom of God. Wherefore, receiving the kingdom, let us have grace and mercy where we may serve God in reverence. Hebrews 12 again, verse 28, that we may serve God. That is the responsibility that we are emphasizing as citizens of God's kingdom. I'm thankful for the kingdom. I'm thankful for the church. Because I learned in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, that when Christ comes again to gather His people, it says He will deliver the kingdom, the church, to His heavenly Father. Are you a part of that kingdom? Oh, if not, this morning we want you to obey the gospel of Christ by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing the precious name of Christ, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins so the Lord can add you to His spiritual kingdom, the kingdom that He will deliver to the Father. You think about these three words, and they sum up salvation, don't they? Notice that again. These three words, inheritance, deliverance, transference, they really sum up salvation. But not only do they sum up salvation, they give us something to be thankful for. I hope as God's people, we're thankful for that heavenly inheritance. I'm thankful that Jesus has delivered us from the domain of darkness, from the devil, who is a liar, who is a murderer, who is full of darkness. And I'm thankful that God has translated us into the kingdom of light, a kingdom of righteousness. Oh, we have so many things to be thankful for. And I hope this week you will thank God for the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. The theme of the Bible, the grandest theme known to mankind, is the salvation of lost souls. Have you been saved? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? If not, this morning is a wonderful opportunity. We'll be glad to put that fish fry on hold so you can be baptized, so that you can be saved, so that you can be a part of the kingdom of God. If you are a part of the kingdom of God, if you haven't been walking as kingdom people, this morning is an opportunity for all of us to examine our lives. And if we need to repent, I pray that we will do so out of humility, wanting to right the wrong that we've done, because we know that we serve a loving God, a God who is ready to forgive us, ready to receive us back. Just read the prodigal son. If you are a part of the kingdom and if you wandered away, God is wanting you to come home right now. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.